Well, good morning and God bless your hearts. Today is Sunday, December 2nd, 2018. Well, we are continuing on our series of Getting Understanding. Today will be part 5, and I want to just do a small recap of 1, 2, 3, and 4. In part 1, we did look at the beginnings of the reign of King Solomon, who was visited by God to ask Solomon the desire of his heart. Solomon wanted nothing more than an understanding heart, and that's what he asked God for. We saw that his request pleased the Lord. The condition of our spiritual hearts is of such great importance, as it can be seen there. It is the control center for our lives, and that is how and why we end up at our destination. Whether we like that drop-off place or not, that's how we end up there. If we have navigated ourselves to an unpleasant destination, we can always change the controls, the direction, the map, by changing the thoughts that dominate our mental consideration. Then in part 2, we continued with the latter reign of King Solomon and saw that he developed an unbridled appetite to love many strange women being those that worship other gods. So these strange women, day by day, changed his spiritual heart. And I will say for the worse, he departed from worshiping the true God and actually turned to idolatry. He ended up breaking the one commandment that we should have no other gods before God. God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No graven images. And that's what he lived among. So by his own wandering from the truth, his spiritual nutrition was in great decline, which gave way for his appetites, emotions, and feelings, passions that would lead him away from the one true God. And remember, all along the way, we have been teaching that God gave man freedom of will to choose his or her manner of life. And that free will choice is determined by the individual's spiritual diet. Then in parts 3 and 4, Larry taught on overcoming the temptation to sin. He started out with the comfort and promise of that wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So, in showing us that God has set limits over how far the devil can go, we saw even more so how important it is to feed our thoughts and hearts with God's nature and his will. Having healthy appetites, emotions, and resolves, decisions, are the makings for our prosperous journey through this life. And it can keep our free will healthy, vibrant, and strong. So as Larry shared, temptation is not sin, but it is a temptation to sin. And everyone is tempted with evil, even our Lord and Savior, yet he was without sin. Larry gave us some very practical biblical advice on overcoming temptation to sin. So here we are today, part 5 on getting understanding. Wisdom and understanding are very closely aligned. There are Hebrew words, wisdom and understanding, they're very different words, but there is somewhat of a fusion with their meanings. But let's go through this verse. I think we did some of it in a previous, either in part 1 or part 2, but I want to go a little more into it today. That wonderful verse in Proverbs 4:7, Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Well, I know I did share with you that principle means the first thing in place, time, order, or rank. It is a first fruit, principle, the first. Therefore, get actually is a word that has to do with buying, purchasing, possessing, owning, redeeming, or acquiring. Now, we buy or purchase something so that we possess or own it for ourselves. That's the purpose of purchasing something, is that you have it for yourself. It's yours. Well, wisdom, of course, cannot be purchased with money. That's the first thing that we all know. But it can be acquired or acquisitioned by receiving God's instruction and using the instruction in a godly manner for godly reasons. In a sense, we come to own or possess it through our relationship with God. It becomes ours as a result of our thinking and acting according to the knowledge of God's word. So in that way, maybe our purchase is by way of sweat equity, you might think of it. It's by our mental determination. We mentally discern, we're wise, we're circumspect, we're judicious. Now in this administration, of course, Jesus Christ has already purchased us. And we have the mind of Christ. So in essence, Jesus Christ purchased for us everything that we have in the church epistles. In Proverbs 12:11, it says, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread." So back to that sweat equity. We do know in our free will, in our renewed mind, in our choice to choose, we will have to do the work in the Word, because that is how we are free. That is how we are blessed. That is how we demonstrate and manifest our victory. Additionally, we know from James that spiritual wisdom has attributes or virtues that are aligned with the nature of God. Wisdom is uncontaminated. It's wholesome, it's patient, it's willing to yield, it's actively compassionate, it bears good fruits, it is impartial, and it adopts the practice of professing beliefs rather than confessing or professing the flaws in others. So that's wise. That's what wisdom looks like. Then we go to that phrase, "and with all thy getting." With all thy getting, it's your substance, your good, your riches, your wealth. With all thy getting, get understanding. So we know in the word that the word wisdom is always aligned with wealth. So with instruction in walking out on it, we get wisdom. We purchase wisdom in that manner. And as we walk out in the wealth of wisdom, we purchase understanding. So with all our getting, get understanding. I kind of like thinking of it in terms of, if wisdom is the first fruits, then understanding is the harvest. The Hebrew word for understanding means to separate or to distinguish or to mark. And all of those operations depend on wisdom, which is our using instruction in a godly manner. So speaking of God's will, his judgment, his statutes, Deuteronomy 4 verse 6 says, "Keep therefore and do them," speaking of God's word. "For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations." So to keep his word, to keep his commandments, Of course, our commandment now is love, but to keep his commandments and do them, this is our wisdom and our understanding. And for us in this administration, it's because we are walking out with the mind of Christ, which has wisdom and understanding within it. Thinking of Solomon, you know, he was already a wise young man when God came to him. But he asked for an understanding heart, and the word clearly says God gave it to him. I think of an apprenticeship program. For example, the apprentice is a worker who is trained to become skilled in a particular trade. And sometimes apprenticeships will combine hands-on work, which is experience, along with a setting of classroom training. So they sit in the classroom, they go out in the shop or the factory or the field, wherever they're going to do this hands-on work. There you have the instruction of knowledge in that classroom, and you have the hands-on work where you can actually exercise or utilize those classroom teachings. And as you apply the teaching during the hands-on portion, insight, you develop insight between the instruction and because you've applied it. So the understanding of all of that trade begins to blossom. For us, our instruction is the Word of God. We demonstrate wisdom when we respect His instruction and put the knowledge of God into a practical scenario. We use it. Wisdom is acting in an appropriate manner according to the word. And understanding is discerning or separating good and bad. It's making a judgment. Remember Solomon again. He wanted understanding to discern judgment. Understanding is the critical part, the judging part. It kind of gives you a navigation point. It gives you the bearing on what's going on. Understanding sees through things. Like if you meet someone and you don't know if they're a Christian or not, or you don't know if they're doing something to tempt you or if they're genuine. Wisdom will see through things and help you act wisely, so you can act on the wisdom that you know that is suitable for that particular situation. So, in the New Testament, there are three main Greek words for understand. Again, like in the Hebrew, the definitions of the various words do appear closely related in one way or other. And they are because they join up. They do unite to get to an end. There are, of course, many nuances that make them distinct. But I would suggest weighing out those for yourself would make a great personal study. I have done that study. And if you have any questions, you are certainly free and welcome to let me know. And I would love to work some of this with you if you like. But for the sake of the series, it's not a word study. We are desiring God for clearness on the subject of understanding, namely how to get it and how we keep it. So looking at the church epistles, let's focus on those things that God would have us to understand. It's great to desire understanding, and of course, we have it in the mind of Christ. It is better to know what God would have us to understand. So we're going to spend most of our time in Ephesians. The church epistles are addressed to those who are already born again of God's Spirit. So having that mind of Christ, which 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us. We know that we have that. So, In Ephesians, let's start in chapter 1. And here we find the Apostle Paul, his expanding thoughts on the enormousness of the new birth. And we'll start in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding. It literally means the eyes of your heart. Being enlightened. And that means to cause to exist and thus come to light and become clear. So it's within us. This understanding is there, but understanding a certain point is something that the Holy Spirit will awaken inside of us, and it will become clear that ye may know, and that know is with a force and a meaning. You will know with a clarity what is the hope or the joyful anticipation of his calling. And his calling refers to that divine invitation to embrace salvation, which is made especially through the preaching of the gospel. So that is our calling, to help people enter into God's family, to help them get born again by preaching the good news. And the verse goes on, what the riches, and that simply refers to the excellence of the abundance. Not only is it abundant, but it is top drawer quality. Of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And that inheritance is referring to the eternal blessedness which an individual will have in eternity. Now that is something to desire to understand. That verse is so loaded with majesty and superior abundance, really. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Next, we'll go to chapter 3 of Ephesians. So what we just read, that should be our desire for an understanding heart. And here's a good question. How much time do we consider these eternal truths that so affect not only our lives, but the lives of others we know? If we did increase our understanding of the hope of his calling, I think we would be out everywhere gathering people to fellowship, to the chapel, wherever, to our homes, for a meal, for a milkshake somewhere. Go sit in the park, anywhere where we could impart to them these great and wonderful truths. And you might say, oh God, would I love to do that? But I just don't have time. My time is already full. Well, just think through a day and jot down on a piece of paper about how many minutes you spend rehearsing a negative conversation that someone had with you or you had with someone. So jot that time down. Jot down the time you spend worrying about bills and how to make money. Jot down those figures. Jot down the time that you have just sat daydreaming. What if, what if, what if? And jot down the times that you are just so frustrated that you could pull your hair out. I bet you would come up with enough time in each day to have plenty of time to consider and think through the things that would bring your heart eyes of enlightenment, eyes of understanding. So in Ephesians 3, we'll look at another usage of the word understand. Now, again, these may be different Greek words, but that's translated understanding, and they are somewhat aligned together. So in verse 4, we'll start, whereby when you read, ye may be of power to. You may is actually a form of dunamis. When you read the word, you may be of the power to understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, this is Paul, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, which is not in the text, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here it is, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So how much time do we spend considering how we should function in the one body? How much time do we joyfully anticipate our expectations when we fellowship with God's family? And yet there are so many divisions in the one body. And, you know, long story short, we are all going to the same place. And we are all going to live together throughout eternity. And we are all going to be very, very happy. So there is another usage of understanding in Ephesians 5 that I'd like to look at. It's in verse 17. And it says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we're going to read chapter 5, most of it, to see what the will of the Lord is, because that's something we're supposed to understand. You know, we're supposed to understand our being seated in the heavenlies and all that that means. We're supposed to understand the great mystery, how to be, that we are fellow heirs, that we are all in one body. And we are supposed to understand what the will of the Lord is. We want to do his will, right? Of course. So then when temptations come that would lure us to do otherwise, we will be clear on God's will. Now, I'm going to begin in verse 1, but I'm going to read the verses that instruct us what we should do. I recommend reading the other verses of warning, but we'll kind of close this out today with our what to do plan. These are the thoughts and biblical concepts that we should ponder, that we should meditate upon, that bring or purchase our understanding. So starting in verse 1, we're to be imitators of God as dear children. We all are familiar with how children imitate. You know, mother grabs the vacuum, they want to grab something and push it around just like mom. Dad grabs a hammer to fix something, and that little boy or that little girl wants a hammer so they can do exactly what dad's doing. They imitate. So in the same way, we are to look at the nature and the virtues and the characteristics of God And it is so simple. It is so direct. We are to imitate that. We are to follow after. Verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Then verse 5 and 6 summarize to tell us not to be deceived. Now, it's a not verse, but certainly not being deceived is a positive. And he doesn't want us to be partakers with the children of disobedience. Because now you are the children of light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit, in verse 9, of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In verses 11 through 13, again, it warns us about avoiding fellowship with those unfruitful works of darkness. Picking it up in verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, with that light, see then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So, we walk as wise. You know, we're in this apprenticeship program. We're moving along. We're really receiving the instruction. We're applying it. And then all of a sudden, we become experts. We're skilled. We're cultivated. We understand the concepts of the business, how the job is done. Because not every job goes according to any book that tells you how to do the job. There's always, I mean, we live in an old house, and I'm telling you, there is no book. You read how to fix something, but then you go to fix it. They don't even look like the same animal. So, you know, we, with Christ's light, we are able to walk circumspectly. We're able to walk as cultivated ones so that when we see the instruction and we see the anomaly, we have that understanding that shows us how to make that anomaly work correctly. Verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, which means mindless or rash, but understanding, considering, knowing, having that insight, being able to see through things so that you know the wisdom that applies. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be an individual of understanding. Be a good and an upright person. We have knowledge of those things which pertain to salvation. The will of the Lord, will refers to the purposes of God. And the purposes of God are designed for one thing, and that is to bless mankind through Christ. So we want to do that will, and also how his children can promote the family business, how we can promote his purposes. Verse 18, encourage us, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that word, making melody, that phrase, it refers to the plucking or pulling out on the strings of a harp, where you pull it out and you let it go, and then there's this vibration caused by that action. Now, what happens when your heart vibrates? Well, your heart is moved. Your heart is a flutter, so to speak. So allow the psalms, the hymns, and spiritual songs to move your whole soul. I know sometimes Larry and I might be riding in the car and we might hear a new song on a Christian radio station that we haven't heard. And We notice that the lyrics are just so tender, so beautiful, that we actually, I look at him and he looks at me and we're just teared up. You know, those lyrics have moved our soul. And it's just such a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful emotion. And those emotions are good. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the respect of God. So that simply means we yield. In the body of Christ, we yield to the admonition or advice as it agrees with God's word. So these present for our deep thoughts, our considerations for what we should understand. We should understand our position in Christ. We are seated. We should have that wellspring of understanding. We should know the things that Christ has accomplished for us. We should understand the workings of the one body. And own up to it, or own it. And we should certainly understand the will of God and do it. So I know sometimes in our teaching we have, and we stick by it wholeheartedly, that God loves you. No matter what you do, God is not going to fall out of love with you. You are His child. And He loves you. And in life situations with humankind, when a parent disowns or says that they do not love their offspring, there is something afoot. There is something that has altered that parent's mind to make them say such a lie. Because they should not hate their children. So you know immediately when that is said, your insight, your understanding of spiritual matters tells you, wait a minute, that person, if they were really free to think their own thoughts, they wouldn't say they hate their children. They would not disown their children. Well, certainly God would never hate us or disown us. We are His children. His seed is within us. He is perfect agape love. But the thing of it is, I've laid out a lot of things that are the will of God, a lot of do's. There are some don'ts in there. It is true that He will love you no matter what, but your free will to love Him back and you doing that will absolutely turn your life around. And don't let the temptation that you don't have time trick you or lure you away from doing the will of God. Reevaluate your life. Restructure your time. Restructure your thoughts. Get a game plan, because that is how you are going to overcome that temptation. God will give you understanding in all things. I'm going to close with three verses from from the book of Psalms. In Psalm 119:99, David said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, because thy testimonies are my meditation. So do you want more understanding? Then meditate upon His testimonies. It's not necessarily, again, I am not casting shade on classes or syllabuses or books in the Christian bookstore. They can certainly, lines in them or phrases can certainly stimulate our lives. I know they do for Larry and I. We enjoy reading this and that, and we get to a place where it no longer makes sense and we set it aside and we bend it back so it fits with the word and we keep moving. But, we want his testimonies to be our meditation. Psalm 119, 104, he says, through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. So the understanding divides the good from the bad. It separates it. No matter how subtle, it separates it. And in Psalm 147, 5, we'll close with this one. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Infinite. So I think it's a lot to think about. We are not going to have a teaching next Sunday. We have our community party at the chapel, and this is about the biggest one we've had so far. So we're going to take the day to set up for that and prepare and get ready. But we will be back with you the following Sunday. So God bless your wonderful hearts. Have a great week. And with all thy getting, get understanding. We love you much. Bye-bye.